Welcome to Faith in Corinth. This podcast is an extension of the Central Church located at 293 County Road 218 in Corinth, Mississippi. We hope and trust today's broadcast will bring you hope, encouragement, and insight from God's Word. And we ask you to like and share this podcast with those to whom you believe it will benefit. Again, thank you for joining us. Now, let's get into today's podcast. I want to turn your attention to St. John chapter number 19, and we'll begin reading in verse number 19. St. John chapter number 19, begin reading in verse number 19. The Word of God said, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. If you'll indulge me for a few minutes of your time this day, I want to preach to you on the subject about a Savior for all. A Savior for all. Would you stay connected for just a few moments longer during this service? And I pray the Word of God would penetrate every heart that's in this house. That whatever walls have been built would be broken. And whatever's holding people back, I pray that that barrier would be broken today. Jeremiah said it was like fire shut up in my bones. The reason why he said that is because he had come to a point where he said, Israel's not going to listen to me. I'll just keep my mouth to myself and my words to myself. But he said, I just couldn't contain it. I couldn't contain the Word of God. I had to tell people. I pray this response that is being held up inside of you would be released today. That you would allow those tears to stream down your face. You would cry out to God, I need a Savior. I need a Savior. And I believe you can be my Savior. I believe you can be my Savior. Hallelujah. God bless you, and may be seated for just a little while this morning. I want it to be very crystal clear today. Salvation is not designated or limited to a certain group of people. You don't have to have the right name. There is no correct skin color. There is no right side of the tracks to live on. God died for everyone. Salvation is for everyone. I want to make it more pointed than that and not just speak in generality. Jesus died for you. Salvation is available to you. If I could say it and it to really resonate within your spirit before we go any further in this message, that you right now would really and truly understand Jesus died for me. While we were yet sinners, the Bible said, Christ died for the ungodly. I'm so thankful that in the 1980s, my teenage years, when I was living the lifestyle that I was, that God looked down in time some 2,000 years in advance and saw a confused, broken, facade-filled individual who looked as if he had everything going on and was the life of the party. But in that moment and in those months that God began to speak to me and deal with me was a very confused individual, a very torn individual, if I could say it like that. Because I knew the Spirit of God was pulling on me. I knew God was expressing His love and His desire for me to me. Which is why I would cry myself to sleep at night, because I know conviction was pulling on my heart. Torn because the flesh wanted to live this way and didn't want to give this up and didn't want to leave this. But then I felt the wooing of God's Spirit. I felt the pull of God's presence on my life. And finally, at some point, there had to come when a decision was made. And you've heard me tell it on numerous occasions how thankful I am that on that June night at Mississippi Senior Camp, that decision was made. And I made that journey down to the altar, and I buried my face in that altar. Tears flooding down my face as I decided I don't want to grow old learning how to live my life without God. And I would have, had it not been for the grace and the mercy of our God. Can I tell you and I here today the real facts of the matter is that we are still here today because not of our goodness or because of our worthiness. We are only here today because of His divine love and mercy and grace that is still being extended to every one of us. To those whom I love and reach for this morning, and to those that are here this morning who God has been talking to as of late, can I tell you the reason why you still feel that nudge and pull of God's presence? Amen. It's because of His divine love for you. He does not want you to spend an eternity outside of His presence. He wants to live, amen, in eternity with you. He wants to walk with you and talk with you, not just momentarily in this world, but in the life to come, eternity. God wants us to be with Him. And that's the reason why we still feel the pull and the tug of God's presence. Salvation is not designated for a select group of people. It is for everyone. The context of our scripture reading, we see details of the events surrounding the cruelty of the cross. And I won't go into all the details, but He was arrested, held for questioning. One of His own followers, Judas, came with the entourage at a place that not only Jesus was familiar with in praying, but Judas was also familiar with that place because he knew that oftentimes Jesus would go there to pray. So Judas knew exactly where to lead the Roman soldiers. And when they saw him in John's gospel, the Bible says that Jesus met them and said, "Who are you looking for?" He told them, "I am he," and they were knocked backwards. And they came to themselves. He told him a second time, "I am the one that you are looking for." And at some point, the man that had walked with Jesus and saw the miracles and was the treasurer, the secretary, if you will, of the disciples, had planted the kiss of betrayal on the cheek of Jesus, signifying to the Roman soldiers, "This is the man that you are looking for." He's called before a kangaroo court, if you will. I find it amazing, and I didn't give you this scripture, but in St. John chapter 18, starting in verse number 37, the Bible says, "Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And then Pilate asked this alarming and straightforward question: what is truth? And I've come to tell you, the truth is everybody must repent and be baptized in the only saving name of Jesus Christ and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, being born of water and of spirit. Hallelujah. False accusers were sent. He was spit upon. His back was beaten. Jesus was forced to carry the wooden cross until he fell with exhaustion. Three large nails were used to pin his broken body to the cross. And above the cross were written these words that Pilate had given the instructions for them to write: "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." As we saw in our scripture reading, others wanted it to declare a different phrase. Not that he was the King of the Jews, but they wanted to say that he claimed to be King of the Jews. And Pilate answered and said, "What I have written, I have written." But I want you to find notice in that not only was the phrase written, but it was written in three different languages. The Bible said it was written in Latin, it was written in Greek, and it was written in Hebrew. All Jews, including those from other nations and sojourners, could be able to read the inscription. And by one of the three languages, they would know beyond the shadow of a doubt who it was that hung on that cross: Jesus, King of the Jews. Because these three languages represent three classes of people. Latin represented the government or those involved in politics. Greek was representing of education, those of higher education, if you will. Hebrew just meant those that were involved in religion or understanding or the common language of that day. So again, no matter what classification you came from, amen, you would be able to know and understand what was being declared, that this is Jesus, King of the Jews. Can I submit to you this morning that the cross fits anywhere and all people? I'm going to say it again, that the cross fits anywhere and all people. Those who walk with God in the Bible range from those that were rich to those that were poor, from the educated to the uneducated, from prophets to former prostitutes, from kings to murderers, and from poets to those who were possessed. Amen. The gospel message was for everybody. And I would tell you today that this same God is still true and available today. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter your background, your walk of life. And I said again, the color of your skin, how you was raised, where you was raised, it doesn't matter. What matters today is that you know and understand that the one that you feel in this house is Jesus Christ, King of the Jews, and He died for you because He loves you. Hallelujah. St. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I want you to know today that God's call to repentance and salvation and His reach is universal. Again, I know I'm being redundant today, but I cannot stress the importance today that you understand it doesn't matter your background, where you was raised, how poor you might have been or how rich you may have been. Amen. You might not have had, amen, good shoes to put on. You may not have had good food, amen, every meal at the table, or you may have been blessed with the best that there was for man to drive or to wear or to eat. Hallelujah. You may have not had the best job, or you may have the best job. But no matter where you are in life, God's call and His reach goes beyond how impoverished you may have been or how rich you are. It goes beyond how sick you are or how well you are. It goes beyond how educated you are or in an uneducated you are. God's call and reach is universal. And there's not a place you can run and hide to from this morning that God's hand is too short that He cannot reach you. I would submit to you that no matter where you are, you may be very deep steeped in sin. You may have been living this life for many, many years. Amen. You may have done some very ungodly things last night or this morning, but I want you to know that the hand of God is not waxed short. God can reach you. God loves you. He wants to save you. He came, amen, in the form of man and shed His own blood so you and I might be saved. God's reaching today. Jesus said, I came not to call, amen, in other words, the healthy. Amen. I didn't come for them. He said, I came for the sick. And I'm going to tell you, sin is making people sick, not only physically, but spiritually. Sin has got our world in a very sick place. I'm going to say that again, that sin has our world in a very sick place. But as it was declared last night through Brother Graham, so say I unto this church today, amen, that where sin doth abound, grace does much more abound. You may think your life is full of sin. I submit to you today that your life is filled with the grace and the goodness of God. We may look at our county and say it's drug filled, alcoholic filled, addiction filled, amen, sin filled. I choose to believe that where sin doth abound, there's much more grace that is reaching for the hearts of mankind. And He's reaching this morning in this service. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, the Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know why you still feel the nudge of God's Spirit? It's because of His long suffering and because of His desire that you and I do not perish, that we do not spend an eternity in a devil's hell, amen, where there is torment and gnashing of teeth, amen. It's the will of God and the long suffering of the Lord and the will of God that nobody should perish. Can I tell you today that if you die and go to hell, it's going to go against God's wishes and His will and His desire and His attempt to reach you. It is the will of God that you do not perish, but that every breathing soul in this sanctuary this morning, in our county, in our state, in our world, it is the will of God that everybody should come to repentance, which is a change of heart, mind, and actions. Notice the heartbeat of God in Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 20. You see the heartbeat of our Savior. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Hallelujah. There's a knocking taking place at your heart this morning. Oh, there's a knocking taking place if you'll shut off the noise. Amen. If you'll turn off the distractions, you're going to hear what you're trying to drown out unsuccessfully. You're going to hear the knocking of the Savior at your door, and said, if you'll just open up the door, He said, "I'll come in and we'll sup with you and He with me." I want to tell you, God wants to have fellowship with you and I. But in order for that to be accomplished, we're going to have to swallow our pride. We're going to have to surrender our will. We're going to have to open that door and allow Him to come in. You see, God is a gentleman. He's a gentleman. He's not going to barge in your life and kick down the door and say, "I'm taking over and taking charge." No, God does not operate that way. Amen. We are created as free moral agents. We decide for ourselves. We are not robots. I'm not here today because I'm made to be here. I'm not saved because I'm commanded or I'm forced to being saved. I'm saved today because at some point I opened up the door of my heart and said, "God, I don't want to walk through life without you." Hallelujah. I don't want sin taking me to a devil's hell. I don't want to spend my eternity lost and absent and separated from the presence of God. And I repented and was baptized, and God filled me with the baptism of His Spirit. It's all because of His long suffering and my desire for Him to come in and sup with me and I with Him. But it had to start with me opening up the door. This time that Jesus made a particular statement, that when He made the statement, He said, "It's easier for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven." After that statement, the disciples thought it was a hard saying, and they posed this question to Him: who then can be saved? And Jesus responded to them by declaring, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." I don't care how long you've been there. I don't care how addicted you are. I don't care how lost you are. You can find your way back home. You can find your way into the presence of God. You can fight your way back to an altar. Amen. Even though the adversary fights you. Amen. Even though the adversary wants to fight you every step of the way, I'm telling you, you can push and shove and fight your way and make up in your mind, "Nothing's going to stop me. I'm going to get to that altar. I'm going to get to that cross. I'm going to let the blood forgive me and cleanse me. I'm going to let His name wash me. I'm going to let His Spirit fill me." Nothing is going to stop me. You cannot do it by yourself. You cannot do it by yourself. Only Jesus can do this. Would you understand how I feel about souls? And I preached this shortly after I became pastor. Every soul counts. Every soul counts. Those that do not agree with you politically, their soul counts. Those who you may not have a lot of interest with, their soul counts. Those who do not look like you, dress like you, or smell like you, their soul counts. Those that are wasting away right now because of an addiction, their soul counts. Those that are wishing right now they'd rather be dead than alive, their soul counts. Those that have been abused by life or both those in trusted positions, their soul counts. Those that have been dealt a bad hand in life, if you will, their soul counts. Every small child, their soul counts. Every Kid Central kid, their soul counts. Every one of our young people, their soul counts. Every hyphen, their soul counts. Every young married couple, their soul counts. And those that have reached the age of being elders, our soul counts. I want to tell you, you matter to God. You matter. You matter. You matter. What does the song say, Brother Helton? You told me about it before we ever came to church. There's no waste at the altar. Why should I go to the altar? My life is nothing but a waste. I'm going to tell you something. Your life is not a waste. It's not a waste. You're valuable. You're valuable to the Lord. You're valuable to the Lord. He loves you. He cares about you and wants to save you today. Hallelujah. 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 We're going to try something. November the 12th, which is about a month away, I've contacted three families in our church and have been given their approval. So on a Wednesday night, I've selected houses that are close to the church so that those of you that with kids can drop your kids off for Kids Central before this event. We are going to have on that night three small groups in different neighborhoods in our immediate area. I've asked the Yanezes. I've asked Granny. And I've asked Brother Joey and Sister Karen Goodman. Because all three of their homes are located in populated neighborhoods. And again, close to our church. We will break out, and we'll get it all organized before then. Just want to give you a heads up before it gets here. In each small group, we're going to have a time of fellowship. The purpose, I will tell you, the grand scheme purpose is to get people in that neighborhood into that house and let them feel in their homes what we are feeling here right now. Well, Brother Harmon, we won't have the drums and the bass. If that's the only thing we got to get the presence of God in here, we're missing it. And that's not the mindset. And I know that's not the mindset. I want you to go into it. It may be just a keyboard or whatever it is, but we can have a move of God right there in that person's house. And people can experience it. They won't come here. We'll take it to them. We'll get the gospel in their neighborhoods. We're going to open up the doors. We'll have some simple foods and a little bit of fellowship. We'll have time for prayer requests. We'll have a short time of worship. And then we're going to have one of our ministers or somebody is going to be teaching for about 20 minutes. But we're going to invite them to feel what we had the privilege of feeling right here in this service. I told you we cannot grow a church, or we cannot increase, amen, by winning souls, just by opening up the doors and say we're open for business. We got to go to them. I've told each of those that I've contacted, I said, I have no idea if it's going to work or not. I said, but I do know this. We'll never know unless we try. We'll never know unless we try. And so we're going to have about 10 people from our church at each house. And we're going to go 2 weeks in advance. And we're going to go to these neighborhoods. And we're going to need some help. I'm just going to tell you right now, we're going to need some help. And we're going to knock doors in that neighborhood. And we're going to invite them to come. And we're going to have the address and what time it's going to start. And there's no pressure. We're just going to have a Bible study and love God and open up the gospel to their neighborhoods. Amen. I believe God's going to do a work. And we're going to put out signs in front of the yard, in their yards, several days in advance, before the Bible study, and just letting them know. And I don't know how we're going to say it yet. That's why I got some of you in leadership. I cast the vision. You help me work out the details. But we'll have a simple sign. Put it in their yards at least 3 or 4 days in advance, probably about 6 days in advance, to let them know Bible study, fellowship, such and such time. But 2 weekends before, we're going to go. We're going to pass out flyers and knock doors. Let them know, hey, it's going to be at this address. We're going to have a great time. And we'll just see what happens. We'll just see what happens. But could it be that, I remember my dad used to say, when we would go knock doors and go pass out flyers on Saturdays, I remember my dad on numerous occasions would tell me and whoever was riding with us, you know what, there may not be a soul that we invited come tomorrow, but God will bless our efforts, and somebody we didn't invite, they may come. I've seen that happen over and over and over again. I hope if we could get at least one person from each neighborhood, I will walk away saying, thank God, it was worth it. And we're going to start, God, give us wisdom. God, give us, show us direction. Give me insight as the leader and the pastor of this church. Give our leadership wisdom, God, that we would know how to go forward. But the goal is harvest and souls and people not dying lost without God. Hallelujah. So these three families will be basically responsible for just opening up their homes. And then we'll have somebody, a lead person at each location, and a musician or singer at least one in each location. And again, we'll have 5 or 10 minutes of worship. We'll have 5 or 10 minutes of prayer, 20 minutes or so of 15 or so minutes of fellowship. It's going to be from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. You can drop your kids off. Those of you that have Kids Central Kids, you can drop your kids off by 6:50 so that you can get to where you need to be at 7 o'clock. And at 8 o'clock, unless God moves in that place, and it ain't going to be a time for you to tell 30 minutes worth of a story. Well, I just got something that I need to say. Well, you can save it for another time. It's going to be from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. And so you can get back here at 8:50, by 8:15 to get your kids, for one thing. But we don't want our guests that show up, and I'm speaking this in faith, and I'm trying not to use words if they show up. We want our guests that will show up to know we're not here to hold you in captivity. You're not going to be a captive audience. We're going to let Jesus just flow through us. We're going to let the love of God flow through us. Hallelujah. Well, Brother Harmon, what if it doesn't work? What if it does work? And we'll never know if we don't do something. And I refuse to sit here in with carpet floors and padded chairs and a comfortable PA and just let the world die and go to hell. Because He is a Savior for everyone. He's a Savior for everyone. Hallelujah. And I took time before service this morning. Musicians come. I took time before service this morning. When Sister Yanez, I drove through your neighborhood this morning, weeping over your neighborhood. God, stir. God, you said, ask and we shall receive. Lord, would you stir this neighborhood? Granny, I drove through your neighborhood this morning, praying over your neighborhood. God, would you stir this neighborhood? Would you let us come in contact with hungry hearts? And Sister Goodman, I drove through your neighborhood this morning, praying over your neighborhood. God, stir. Hallelujah. I pray that right now, you know, the demonic of Gadara, he came out of the mountains to walk on the seashore. I believe because there was a pull of the Spirit. A man that was demon-possessed by thousands of devils. A man that would day and night in the mountains cut himself, scream and holler. He was a wild man. But something called him out of that mountain. The Spirit of God moved on that wild lunatic of a man. He wasn't blind. He saw the storm that blew up as they were making their way over to the other side. And maybe, just maybe, a thought entered his mind. If there's a higher force that can calm that storm. Is there a God that can calm my storm? And so what I'm praying, and I want you to join with me in prayer, that before November 12th gets here, there will be a pull of the Spirit. That when we show up at their doorstep and knock on their door and, hey, we're going to have a fellowship at the Goodman's house at 7 o'clock on this date. Here's their address. And we're going to give them a flyer that has the information on it. It's low key. I mean, it's just going to be just a laid back atmosphere. And so we would love for you to come. I pray that when we knock on their door, there's going to be some people saying, you know, I've been thinking about God lately. Pull on them, God. Let the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let there be a drawing of the Holy Ghost. Let there be a drawing of the Spirit in Jesus' name. Oh, God, let there be a drawing of the Spirit. I pray that right now that you would begin to deal with their hearts. Don't count anybody out. Don't count anybody out. Can I tell you, some mistakenly think they are too far gone. But that's not true. The enemy of your soul has convinced you that you're overlooked, you are of no value, you're a has-been, it can't ever happen. That's a lie. He is a Savior for everyone. Ezekiel chapter number 16, verse number 4 through 6. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee. Nobody had compassion on you, but thou wast cast out into the open field to the loathing of thy person. In the day that thou wast born. Who would do that? You know what a loving family does when that baby's born? Oh, they can't wait to get their hands on that baby. Hold that baby. He said, nobody took care of you. He said, and when I passed by thee, I saw thee polluted in thine own blood. and said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I say it to you this morning, my friend. Live. Live. Don't survive. Live. Live in Jesus' name. You're polluted in your own blood. You feel like nobody cares about you. You feel like you're too far gone. You feel like you're too much of a mess up. Live, I say unto thee, in the name of Jesus Christ. Live. Live in Jesus' name. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Why don't you walk into abundant life today? Why don't you walk into abundant life today? Quit surviving. Quit surviving. God asks all the question. Basically, he said, what you running for, Saul? Why are you fighting against me? Don't you know it's difficult to fight against the call of God and the pull of God's Spirit? Oh, the relief you would feel this morning if you'd just give up. I'm tired of fighting and I'm tired of running. I need you. I need your touch. I need your peace. I need salvation. And the preacher said today that you're a savior for all. So God, I'm going to take the preacher at his word this morning. That means you're a savior for me. And friend, he is a savior for you this morning. Let's stand all across this building, if you will. I don't have the words to express the relief that I felt on that June night of 1989. I don't have the words to express the freedom and the joy and the utter relief that I felt. The joy that passes and the peace that passes all understanding and joy unspeakable and full of glory. I can't put it into words. I've had the Holy Ghost now. I prayed back through 1989. Brother Kyle, how many years is that? 36 years. And to this day, when I think about that night, I'm telling you, it takes me about that long to go into tears. The joy, the peace, the presence of God, that life transformation that happened on that night. I just can't describe it. You're going to have to find out for yourself to know what I'm talking about this morning. But can I tell you, it's real. It's real. It's real. It's not a figment of your imagination what I'm preaching to you this morning. It's real. And you can have this real joy and this real peace, and you can find real salvation at the feet of Calvary. Hallelujah. Every head bowed right now and nobody looking around. Would you talk to Jesus for yourself right now? Would you just get honest with him? Before I came to that altar in 1989, I got honest with God. God, I know you're dealing with me, and I'm just, please don't come back right now. I'm not ready. I didn't try to hide the fact from him. He already knew. Why don't you just get honest with God right now and say, God, I'm not where I need to be. I know conviction's been pulling at my heart, God. I sense you. I want you to know it, and to know I acknowledge your presence dealing with my heart. But would you do more than just acknowledge that? Would you put some action behind what God's doing and allow Jesus to change you? Allow him to change you this morning. Come on, talk to Jesus. Would you do that right now? Would you just talk to Jesus for a moment? Hallelujah. Where are those days? I remember it. Oh, I sat through those services when conviction would be so strong, people would grab the back of their pew and their knuckles would turn white because they were under the conviction of God. Hey, let me tell you, we're not in this world to stay forever. It's not just going, you're going to die and be put in a grave and that's the end of life. No, there's going to be an afterlife. There's going to be an eternity. It's going to be heaven or hell. And it's going to be real places. Don't gamble. Don't leave it to chance. I want you to come to him. He's got open arms right now and nail-scarred hands, and he loves you. He loves you this morning. Hallelujah. These altars are open for whoever would like to come and pray this morning. And by making a move doesn't mean that you're some wretched sinner, but it may mean that. I wonder if anybody would have the boldness and the desire to step out of where they are and say, God, if nothing else, I just want to make sure. I just want to make sure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, would you come and pray? Would you come and pray? My daddy used to say it like this. If you'll come, if you'll be bold enough to take a step out of that, down that aisle, somebody's going to follow you to the altar. I'm telling you, I saw it over and over and over and over. That if somebody would have the boldness to step out, somebody's going to follow you. That person could be waiting on you to step out this morning. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come to the altar this morning?
Go ahead.
Would you come to the altar this morning? Let's talk to him today.